You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
I liked your suggestion earlier today that every metal song should have to end with shave and a haircut, two bits.
Oh, that would be amazing. Just raining blood from a lacerated sky.
I think that, you know, whenever we finally get Crotch Monster off the ground, that ought to be our signature, is every single song ends with the doot 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 doot, and then you like drag it out. Do.
Yeah.
Do.
Yeah, don't do the we could wait for the two bits until after like the last song.
Oh.
That builds tension.
Yeah, the album. That's what metal is all about. You got to build emotion and tension.
Yeah.
Well, the lights come on in the venue. Everyone starts packing up in the band. You know, the fans are chanting one more song, one more song, and then you just do, and everyone goes nuts.
Yeah,
absolutely. Just like the crowd killing going on for those two notes.
Yeah, they riot worse than when Guns N' Roses doesn't take stage.
Yeah. Well, as you might know, this is the Toilet Hole Radio Show. I am Joe Thrashenkill, and the voices you just heard, we've got my good friends, 365 Days of Horror. Say hi.
Do, 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 do.
And Brenocide.
Do, do.
And we got a whale of a show for you today, because I figured what we'd do is we're coming up at the end of the year here, and I figured that we'd talk about some of the big milestones of the year, some things that maybe we haven't talked about previously in the year because we were preoccupied with, I don't know, Bonafarts or Big Titty Goth Girlfriends or, you know, whatever it is that was more pressing that particular day that we recorded.
Cigarette reviews and Modelo.
Lots of hot button issues, you know, we're gonna look past those and take a look at some of the other big events that affected heavy metal in this, the year of our Lord 2018. I believe that was the year, right? Is that it?
It feels like it's been about 10 years. This one year.
The Tide Pod Challenge happened this year.
Was that this year?
That was like this year.
Forever. I feel like an entire generation has moved past the Tide Pod incident of 2018.
I mean, you would think so, but if you interact with the wrong conservative on Twitter, they will absolutely call you a soy boy and tell you to go back to eating Tide Pods, as I had happen the other day. So some of us are still, you know, living in the dregs, or not the dregs, the shiny new beginnings of 2018.
Those conservatives always on the cutting edge of humor.
Yes, they really, you know, they nail it. They understand what makes a joke resonate with audiences.
I mean, they finally stopped doing Borat impressions.
See, it's kind of, I think it's coming back around again, like where it's long enough that it's ironic and funny.
Yeah, I never stopped doing Borat impressions. I just keep doing it until it's cool again.
Yeah, that's a strong strategy. That way you're not, you know, too far behind. You're always
never out of fashion.
So one of the things that I thought we could do today, I don't want to cut you off. Is there something that you guys wanted to mention about your day, your weekend, your past month?
I went and I saw a little show somewhere this weekend.
What did you see?
The tiny little band. You guys probably haven't heard of them. I think they're from Sweden. I think they're called Ghost. They're all right.
The synthesizer band, GOST.
Correct.
That was it.
That was it. If it was the GOST band, it wouldn't have been good. But I saw. Sorry, I'm just kidding. It's fine. It was the real deal. The radio hit boys, and it was actually really stellar. I had a great time. It was an amazing show. Like, even if you didn't like the music, I challenge anyone to not have a good time at that show. Of course, we're talking like lots of money later. That's the thing when you try to buy tickets for very popular groups. It's not like buying tickets for your kind of usual fare as a metalhead. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, normally I hand a door guy $10 and then I go directly inside. What did this one run you?
Well, it was actually a gift from my older brother. He works out in Boston. He invited us over for the night, and he got us these tickets. And the reason I didn't go is because I think at this point they were all sold out, and the only way you could get them was from scalpers. And we're talking like $130 plus for like any available seating. We were in the second to last row of the Wang Theater, which I couldn't stop laughing at the name Wang Theater. But it was funny because it was like this gorgeous, elaborate, just golden old-timey theater with all sorts of like ornate fixtures, and then there were a bunch of like, you know, balding, mouth breathy, like trench coat wearing metalheads. It was great.
But I'm always weirded out by assigned seating at shows.
Yes.
Sure, it's one thing if you're in like a fucking stadium or whatever, and it's, you know, but like being in I guess what size would you call that? That is a theater itself, right?
Well, yeah, it was like a multiple balcony theater. I mean, this was like an opera house, essentially. So there was a lot of available seating, probably enough to accommodate maybe 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. I couldn't begin to guess, but it was lots of people there, totally sold out show. It was very cramped and uncomfortable, but a good time nonetheless.
Did you bring your gold binoculars with the strange handle thing to the opera house?
I wish, because I couldn't see a fucking thing. It looked great. It looked like it could have been a good show, but, you know, I felt like one of those guys that was like, you know, drove his car up the mountain to watch a stage show or something. It's just, or a stadium show of some kind. It just, you know, I'm glad I didn't pay for the tickets. Let me just say that much.
How much did a t-shirt run in the concourse there?
$40.
Jesus Christ.
Ooh. Yeah, that's par for the course for like a big band and a big show like that. They charge way more than you would get them at like, say, Hot Topic or their web store or wherever. They just upcharge everything. My wife ended up buying a just kind of a run-of-the-mill regular cotton hoodie, and it was $70.
Boy.
Yeah,
you know, you could just wait till the end of the tour when they want to unload all the extra stuff they have on their website for like half the price.
But I want Tobias Forge to be as rich as he is. He think he deserves it. He worked very hard. He was very entertaining.
I mean, I guess you could ask like the former members of his band that are suing him about that, but
yeah, right. Or failed to sue him. I guess he won that.
Oh, he beat the case. My man innocent.
It's right. My man innocent. Yeah. Just tell everybody online, you know, that he's innocent, and that's what that means.
It's the new Ghost album, Technicality.
It's beautiful. Want to hear Papa Emeritus, or what is he going by now?
Cardinal Copia, kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to hear him like attend the VMAs or whatever, like, murder was the case, I'm innocent.
That's right, yeah.
So Cardinal. I've never seen Ghost live, and God willing, I never do, but are they like, is it like a King Diamond show where there's big set pieces and there's kind of like a theme going on, or does the band just play?
Oh my God, dude, it's like the set piece. It's the theme. It's the whole show. It never stops. Like, it's a huge production. They have just a very intricate light show. Fog comes out at certain times. There's like, it's like, do you guys remember? And I mean, of course you don't remember because you weren't alive back then, but I'm sure you've seen in documentaries how they used to have like daytime shows, like the Johnny Cash show or whatever, where it was mostly music, but then there was just lots of talking and discussions. It felt kind of like that. It was like some sort of weird daytime
variety talk show kind of
variety. Yes, variety. Okay. That's the word I was looking for.
Cardinal Copia tonight.
Pretty much, yeah. And he was like, fucking hilarious.
They have a second band on stage to play them out.
No, it was actually just Ghost. There was no opener or anything.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we just sat down, and then it was just 3 hours of just about every song Ghost ever produced. So I had a great time. I love the band. You guys know that.
Yeah.
We're gonna
talk more about Ghost later on in the show, but just as a spoiler, I mean, like, wait, no, we're not. If that means that people are gonna click out of this browser when I don't know, We got a lot of show, so don't leave.
We're going to make fun of bad metal music, so that's what that means.
Yeah. I failed to participate in metal this week. I was going to see Cannibus Corpse last night until I got too tired and too old.
Yeah.
How about you, Jordan?
Oh, thankfully not. I kind of realized as the end of the year was coming up that I've seen a lot of shows this year. Like, I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but maybe somewhere upwards close to like 30.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah,
we're not like seeing people, so no. that's a fair amount.
Like to the 25 to 30, and it's just like I'm so tired, and my back hurts all the time. I think my New Year's resolution is going to be try to go to less shows.
They're not fun anymore.
They can be. I don't know. I've gone to a few fun shows this year.
Right, but you're like an athletic guy from what I know of you, and I'm not at all, and I'm very large and I take up a lot of space. It's like there's only so many hours I can just kind of stand still in a place, and man, it was like way past how long I was staying there watching this show.
Gotcha.
Like, it's not comfortable, man. I feel it in my bones and my back, and then I drink too much, and just it's like a concoction for like a terrible feeling the next morning.
Yeah, I mean, I like adding dehydration on top of like existing pain. I mean, that's been the story of like the last 10 years of my life, so I'm not going to judge you for it or anything like that. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's not great. Try Kratom.
Yeah, I might. But yeah, no, I think Jordan's on the money. I think it's time for less shows. It's time to accept that I'm just not a scene guy, like you said. I'm not a live music kind of fella, I guess. I love music, but just keep it away from me.
I mean, it's been a few years since I was going to like multiple local shows a week, and I never want to do that shit again. This is the worst way to be.
God, it's like masochistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. On shit.
You know, like, you know, you're all hungover and shit the next day, and someone's like, "Oh, are you gonna go see the Party Monsters tonight?" And it's like, "Absolutely not. I'm dying. My body is screaming at me."
Yeah. My body is screaming at me with like several shows a year, so I just can't. Just whatever. It's fine. But yeah, no, it was fun. It was a great time. Check them out. Everybody who's listening, I'm sure you will.
Well, I wanted to talk about some of the biggest events in metal this year. And I guess starting off, what would be fun is that you guys know Shane, right, from Full Metal Hipster?
No.
Yes. He interviewed you a long time ago.
Something like that. I shitposted on his podcast once, and he shitposted on our podcast once, too. Synergy there in shitposting.
He is one of the several Twitter unfollows that is therefore dead to me. So I just think this shit's so awkward, man. It's like we're all metal Twitter, we're all bloggers, we're all seeing each other in the same stupid threads about the same stupid shit, and a bro goes and unfollows me, man. It's like what did I even say? What did I do, Shane?
We're
come
all
on the show and we'll fight about it.
Yeah, we're all in the same place. We're all talking about similar subjects, and yet no one retweets me.
Yes.
The pain that's is even
worse. All the likes you can handle, 2 retweets.
You were right. It's a coward's ratio.
that's what it's called, man. What did you get the coward's ratio on this week?
I made a meme, which we can get into later. Is that I'm just like a meme machine lately. I can't stop. But I made a meme where I was Bernie Sanders in one panel talking about how we need to like in front of Twitter. It's like we got to eject, you know, nationalism, racism, misogyny from the scene. And then the next caption is like a close up of Bernie Sanders laughing in black and white. And it just says, you know, my white hypocritical bro ass laughing at anal cunt lyrics on the toilet. On the phone.
You deserve that coward's ratio, man. I like that, but I am not sharing that.
Right. Too real for you?
Yep. You keep it way too real. But I digress. Metal Shane, is a, I don't know exactly what his real job is, but it's something like, curating metal for YouTube Music. So what he did was he put together the top 50 metal tracks of 2018, which is not to say like the way we would put together a list of top metal of 2018 by the vector of shit we like. It's it uses the real data of what the people like, you know, how many views these things got. And, you know, we spend so much time within the genre that looking at this list made me realize that I live on an entirely different planet from the rest of the world.
It's really daunting, isn't it?
It is. And there are so many of these bands that get millions and millions and millions of views. And I had realized I'd never heard a note of them before. I don't know if you guys had that experience as well. Maybe you're a little bit more connected to more mainstream metal than I am. What was your reaction upon seeing some of these lists?
I mean, like, as you guys can tell from me going to like this dorky FM radio metal show, that yeah, maybe a little bit. I like to kind of not care so much about what's underground, who needs to be hyped and whatever. I just listen to what I like. And so I kind of do find more things than I think most underground metalheads find, and I appreciate things that they probably wouldn't. But there's a line that you got to draw somewhere as like a good human being, and that line was crossed on just about 90% of these songs. Like, they're all very bad.
What did you think, Jordan?
Looking at the list now, I'm not surprised by anything. The only things I didn't expect are from bands that I either forgot existed or didn't know they put out new music. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like, this list checks out with what I would assume is popular right now. I mean, we're talking about Five Finger Death Punch. We're talking about Parkway Drive, Bring Me the Horizon, Ghost, Disturbed. Like, that all makes sense to me.
I think that, was it Parkway Drive? I've seen the name around, and I thought that I was familiar with like one thing that they had done at some point, maybe, but no, never. I don't think I'd ever heard anything they'd ever done.
Yeah, they're an Australian metalcore band that's been kicking around for like 10 years, and recently, like within the last album, they changed their sound to be more like straightforward, like hard rock, and I think that's really helped them reach a whole new level. Like, they're doing co-headlining tours with Killswitch Engage now, whereas before, 5-6 years ago, they were opening for them. So that's why they are where they are now.
So I watched there's 50 songs on this list, and I tried to get through all of them, but I made it through the top 15. I couldn't go all the way. But I think ranking in at number 10, it was Parkway Drive, had a song called The Void. So I watched it, clicked play. Number one, like, most of the songs on this list have extremely well-done videos associated with them. Not all of them, but most of them. They're not, like, you know, especially compelling in any way, but they're incredibly professional and slick, and they obviously cost money.
I wouldn't say they were very good. I would just say they're very high budget, if I could call them anything. Some of them are very bad, too.
The thing with this Parkway Drive video is, like, it's mainly, you know, footage focusing on the band playing, and those guys look, you know, they look a little up in years. They look, you know, like me on a bad day.
Yeah. You say that, but some of the other bands on this, Marilyn Manson, Disturbed, Slipknot, Jonathan Davis from Korn, they all have to be older than Parkway Drive.
Oh, definitely. I guess it was
much
just
older.
I guess it was just weird to me because I don't know, and I guess that kind of bands of that stripe that were in that scene, that like everybody else, they're aging too.
Yeah, I mean, they're only probably 5 to at most 10 years younger than us, like the rest of these quote unquote younger bands on this list. So they're not that far off from our, you know, guts and double chins.
Oy. Behold the ravages of age. Should we start from like the most popular?
Yeah, yes. I'd say we go there and we work our way down, because it's so dismissive what the most popular one is, because it's just a cover.
Well, there's a few, there's more than a few covers on this list, which I could be emblematic of something else. But listener, I tell you what, I will give you 3 seconds. Guess what the most popular song, metal song of 2018 was. Ready? No, you were way off. Anal Cunt didn't even release a song this year. That was a dumb guess. The number one metal song, quote unquote, of 2018 is the cover of Zombie by Bad Wolves. Of course, you'll remember Dolores O'Riordan, lead singer of the Cranberries, died unexpectedly at the very beginning of the year, and she was supposed to collaborate on this cover with this band, the Bad Wolves. Did she actually get anything on this track?
I believe she did.
Okay.
I heard that she didn't. I'm hearing two different stories, because according to the music video, she didn't. She didn't. She never showed up. She died that day.
Gotcha. I would too, rather than perform with these guys. But sorry, Dolores.
come on the show, Dolores.
we'll hash the beef out. No, it could be. I think it's a number of things that contributed to the success of this song. The timing at the very beginning of the year, so you released before the others, you got more time to amass a view count. Number two, the widely publicized death of a beloved pop music figure, and number three, not having to write original music and instead just rehashing a already massively successful song, but adding some distorted guitars and tough manly man singing, yes, so that you can't feel gay listening to it in Golds, where it plays 24/7. That's right. Zombie has 175 million views.
Jesus. Wow. And Bad Wolves are an already established band, in the fact that they have members of God Forbid and the vocalist Tommy Vexed, who is in a whole bunch of small-time bands. But it's one of those things where they're new, but they're not really new, and they already have the connections that a lot of actual new bands would kill for, so they already had that working for them. And they also have the... that they're in the same places like Five Finger Death Punch, kind of hardish rock with soulful, clean vocals, and they appeal to that aggro bro, I love the military crowd. So they have a lot of different things going for them.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely weren't like a record label gamble at all. These guys are like well established. Yeah.
There's that additional Five Finger Death Punch connection of Tommy Vexed filling in for Ivan Moody when he had one of his breakdowns. So they're tight, they're bro tight. We've discussed the Bad Wolves on this particular podcast in the past, in reference to their song Officer Down, which is a big sloppy blowjob love letter to the boys in blue. We don't need to rehash how I feel about that.
Wow. Was that bad? I thought that was Five Finger Death Punch. That goes to show you how they're really just interchangeable.
I will say that there seems to be a slight difference in the approach of these bands, whereas Five Finger Death Punch is outwardly aggressive about fake motherfuckers, I hate you motherfuckers. Bad Wolves is more introspective in their gravelly voice man poems.
Yeah. Let's talk it out, motherfuckers.
I love it. It's a good one. It's like it's just like how you're an angry sad man as opposed to just like an angry man,
which is really the most prevailing thing on this list of music. It's almost entirely gravelly voice men clean singing about inner demons of an unnameable nature, just a general malaise, I suppose.
It fits for 2018.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense to me that going after a huge audience of 18 to 35 males that are experiencing some kind of emotional turmoil, and they want an outlet, which is, I guess, through this mass consumable radio rock kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah. We're all sad. We're all angry. We're all lonely. We have YouTube.
And when Joe says 18 to 35 in regards to the Bad Wolves demographic, what he's really talking about is Bad Wolves only has fans that are 18 years old and then 35 years old.
I believe there's got to be some old timers out there like, you know, I thought rock and roll was dead.
I thought rock and roll was dead until I heard Greta Van Fleet and Bad Wolves.
Hell yeah, brother.
This Christmas, go and ask your father, listener, if he's a fan of either Greta Van Fleet or Bad Wolves. See if he likes them. I'm curious to see what the older ones of us think.
Do you guys have any like real life examples of things you've accidentally seen on your father's playlist, or things you know are on his playlist that are just really, really extra dad?
I mean, my dad only listens to like 1970s classic rock and country music from the years 1975 to 1992, and there's nothing else.
My dad's an old hippie, so it's lots of Grateful Dead and bluegrass and stuff like that, but he'll occasionally like to fuck with me and send me a message like, hey, have you heard the new Rod in Christ?
that's a cool dad. My dad went out and bought the Linkin Park Live in Texas album, and he had some bangers on his iPod Nano back when those were a thing. Remember those? Such as like Vogue by Madonna. My dad's a really weird guy. He's just a weird man.
I think your dad would love Bad Wolves.
I think my dad would very much love Bad Wolves.
So do us a favor and don't introduce it to him. They don't need any more dap. They're fine.
There's enough dads. Yeah.
They're good. But I don't want to spend all of our time on the song by the Bad Wolves. And we've got coming in at number two. This is one that hits near and dear to your heart, Bruno. Can you guess what it is?
It must be All Out Life by my favorite band, Slipknot.
No, it's not. No, number two metal song of 2018 was Rats by Ghost. It clocks in at 15 million views, which is a tenth as many as fucking Zombie. But still incredibly respectable for a band that's as, you know, I mean, Tobias Forge has been kicking around in metal forever, but Ghosts in the grand scheme of like radio rock, which has a memory of 40 years, that's pretty good.
I remember earlier in the year, I think it was Chris Kravatin, I think the guy's name was. He wrote an article about Ghost where he pretty much just shit all over the band because he doesn't like them. And pretty much the point of his article was like, would any of us still be here if Ghost didn't have all this stupid gimmick bullshit? And I think it's like the opposite is true. I think people don't care about the stupid gimmick bullshit as much as they care about these like sweet ass hand clapping jams, man. I'm telling you, they're very, very popular in terms of like their musicality.
I mean, it's not a bad song. Like and I would say that like out of everything on this list, this is the one that I like the best.
Yeah. The stuff by Ghost is probably the best stuff on this list by far. There's really not much else that I would find anywhere near acceptable. But we can move on. I know,
Jordan, do you have a hot take on Rats?
I really don't. I'm kind of Switzerland when it comes to Ghost. Like I 100% understand why people love it. It's not necessarily for me. I like the song Ritual.
Yeah, I like that song too. That's a cool song.
I think it's a good song. And, you know, they don't really sound like that anymore. It's fine at number two. I'm not insulted. I'm not mad. I got nothing really.
All right. Well, let's have a golf clap for Ghosts for overcoming the odds and somehow being the number two on this list. Number three. We've got Remember When by the Bad Wolves. Yeah. clocking in at 9.5 million views, Remember When is an original track by the Bad Wolves, proving that they've got the longevity to give what it takes. This is a hell of a thing. The track begins with text here. It says, on September 20th, 2010, Tommy Vex was killed by his twin brother during a home invasion. And then, you know, it says 8 years later, he told their story. And it shows Tommy Vex getting out of some kind of American muscle car. That's extremely dumb. And I had questions here because... He's not dead.
Yeah, shouldn't they be called Ghost?
Right.
And
it's like, no pun intended, but what a hill to die upon is that you died. Like, my brother killed me. Like, you can't be mad at your brother for killing you when he didn't fucking do it.
Yeah. And you know what? This is a quibble of mine. People will say that they died when they're, like, you know, fucking talking to you as a flesh and blood person. Like, oh, you know, I went into cardiac arrest or something and I died. It's like, no, you didn't, because you're not dead. You're still here. You just, like, were temporarily pretty unresponsive, but you're better now.
Yeah. If your brain works enough and had enough oxygen going to it that you can grift people on some shitty cover, then, like, you didn't die.
I'm saying, quit stealing corpse valor, okay?
Yeah. That's right. That's what that is.
Yeah. Our grandfathers died, so.
Yeah.
My grandfather didn't die abandoned in some nursing home so you could come in here and pretend that you were dead on a slab. This is an interesting one in that this video is very stylized. It's telling the story both visually and musically about Tommy Vex coming up with his ne'er-do-well brother when they were kids. His brother got involved in drugs and such while Tommy went on the straight and narrow, and for some reason his brother broke into his house and then, according to the video at least, whacked him in the head with a pipe. I don't know exactly how many of these details are accurate and how many are, you know, self-aggrandizing for the purpose of selling this band and their story and Tommy Vexed. But it's interesting, I guess. The music itself is terrible. It very much sounds like POD, if you guys can remember that band.
Do you guys remember the song that Seether did with Amy Lee for the Punisher soundtrack?
Of course.
'Cause I'm broken.
It's like that music in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's a common theme on this list, and that you've heard all of these songs before, just in a minor variation. This is a tough man ballad with rapping about how his brother killed him, but he got better. I don't know, man. It said that his brother went to jail for 17 years and he never spoke to him again or something. It seems like, you know, you helped me crack these Billboard charts, so it seems like you owe him a phone call or something.
Write him a letter, at least.
Yeah. So fill up his, what is it called? The, the cash you get in jail so you can buy Cheetos.
Yeah, send him the Billboard charts and be like, huh, are you on the Billboard charts? Steve in jail. Fuck you.
Steve Vexed.
I don't know his name.
It's probably Steve.
Well, I'm now looking just like in my peripheral. I see that Vexed is not his real name.
No, it is not.
No, it is Thomas Cummings.
So Vexed is an improvement.
Tommy Cummy is pretty good, though.
Cummy.
Well, isn't Rob Zombie's real last name Cummins as well?
Sure, I believe that. Sherry Moon Cummings or something. I don't know. It's a bad song. I don't like the Bad Wolves, and I think that we're finally ready to let it go. What do you think?
Well, I just hope they don't make any more albums, and then I can.
Okay. Coming on number four, this is one that I wrote an article about because it was so fucking weird to me. We've got Are You Ready by Disturbed.
Are you ready?
And I could have sworn that I heard this song in 2001. because it is a carbon copy of stuff that was on that Down with the Sickness album.
Number 9!
Exactly.
Well, didn't he say that this song was actually from, like, the early 2000s?
He did. It was in their pile of stuff that was not good enough to be on a record back then. And I guess it's fine now.
Standards have gotten way lower, so it's fine.
Yeah, and you know what? It worked because Are You Ready is coming in at 8 million views.
I can't believe it has that many listens.
Can you imagine, like, shelving a song you don't think is good enough and then fucking, what, 15 years later putting it out there and it gets 8 million views?
Gotta save something in the tank for later, man.
I guess. I guess that's what's up.
The video
itself. It's a goddamn Sound of Silence song. That's what did this.
So the Bad Wolves wish that they could touch the numbers that the Sound of Silence did. Because that's coming up at a billion now.
Oh my god. Clearly that everybody's making metal now is fucking up. It's all about making, like, dopey, overdriven guitar covers of, like, shitty pop songs.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, somebody will do a different Simon and Garfunkel cover, and that'll break the charts. Just want to hear, like, Seven Dust doing Cecilia.
Great. That sounds awesome.
But anyway, the video for Are You Ready, I highly recommend everybody go out and, well, no, don't add to this view count, but watch it somehow, in which this guy, this cyberpunk fella, does a lot of, what is the parkour over the rooftops, defeating some kind of dystopian evil government so he can go see an Underground Disturbed show.
I love it.
Yeah, it's
five stars. Else.
Do you want to continue revisiting 2001?
I don't, but I don't think we have a choice, do we?
Cool. Well, coming in at number 5, we've got Marilyn Manson with his cover of Cry Little Sister. Famously remember from the Lost Boys soundtrack.
God, can you people who are over the age of, like, 31 stop listening to music?
And it's funny because, like, the cover itself is, like, completely inconsequential. It sounds so similar to the original, and it sounds so similar to a cover that came out in, like, I don't know, probably about 2001 by a Juggalo-affiliated band called Zug Island that covered this before them.
Hell yes.
I don't know why I know that. It's a good, the original song is perfectly fine. It didn't need, I don't know, to be extra spooky. It's already pretty spooky.
No song needs to be covered in, like, a professional manner. If you want to play it live during a show, do something cool, I get it. But, like, put that shit on, like, a record and then put it back on the radio, it's just shit rehashing shit all the time. It's worse than, like, Hollywood remakes. I fucking can't stand it.
Jordan, do you have any opinion on Cry Little Sister of the Lost Boys?
I didn't even know this song existed until we started talking about this earlier today.
Really?
I've seen the Lost Boys, but I don't remember the song.
Oh, man. That song's a jam. Well, the, you know, whoever, God, I don't even know who did the original, but hopefully they're making a bank on the royalties with this.
Yeah, this wasn't one I listened to because I will not give Marilyn Manson a fucking listen at this age of my life. He needs to be gone from my life completely.
Well, when this is over, go listen to the original and you'll be like, hey, that's kind of a nice song.
Okay, will do.
Coming up on number 6. Sorry, I didn't mention Marilyn Manson's cover of Cry Little Sister. 6.1 million views.
Very nice. Now, when you say number 6, you mean 6 and then sick, S-I-C, 6.
I do, as a matter of fact. Number 6, we've got All Out Life by the Slipknots.
I love the Slipknots, man. I like that they have masks and jumper suits. It makes it really cool and adds to the music.
Now, I regret to inform you guys that somewhere along the line of putting this list together, I fucked up the rankings. Because it turns out that All Out Life has 18 million views, which would put it at, I believe, number two, yeah.
I mean, I'm reading the list as you're going through, and I have the same order.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just go through it this way. I don't know why it's like this, but I heard a lot of people were disappointed with this song, like Slipknot fans, and I don't get it because it sounds exactly like something from their first fucking album. I don't know.
It definitely does. Like, it is a definite throwback to that self-titled one. So if you like Slipknot, I don't know why you wouldn't like this. The video itself, it's also very throwback to that. And, you know, it's everybody's acting all crazy and, like, they're mentally unstable and taking over a bus and, like, all banging their heads and shit. It's, you know what? I don't hate it. I don't hate the video.
Hmm.
Jordan, do you have a Slipknot hot take?
No, it's Slipknot. What hot take do you need at this point? This is what they do. They've been around for 20 years at this point.
Longer than
There's
that,
no
probably.
Surprises.
Yeah.
It's guys hitting kegs with baseball bats and, you know, Corey Taylor yelling about stuff.
Yeah. You know, the more that Corey Taylor does this instead of, you know, talking to press or something, I support that.
Less Stone Sour.
Yeah, that too. Don't play that shit near me. Moving on, we've got an interesting one, fellas. We got What It Is, What It Do by one Jonathan Davis.
Why is he doing anything?
That's a great question. What It Is has 7.5 million views, and I was really curious. We saw posters like for Rocklahoma last year that listed Jonathan Davis solo set, and we all made fun of it, of course. Like, what's he gonna do? Is it gonna be an acoustic scat set?
Oh my God.
But it turns out he needed this solo platform so he could deliver hard rock ballads. There's really nothing meaty going on here. Like, Korn itself is 10 times more interesting. Like, literally, everything that Korn has done is far more interesting than what this is. This is just kind of middle of the road radio rock, you know?
I guess someone has to do it. It might as well be someone that's established.
I guess so.
Someone that makes gorilla sounds.
It does have lyrical gems on it, like, pretty soon you'll have to face, you're a virus called the human race. And I too have seen The Matrix. So that's cool.
Very cool.
I was hoping for a little bit more from Jonathan. I will say, notable about this video as well is that he's clearly either had hair plugs or extensions put in. Because that hairline is looking solid.
Love it.
He's got to be in his 40s, right? Mid 40s?
Yeah, he's coming up on it, man. And he was way bolder when he was in his 20s, so something happened here. But yeah, there's no showmanship to this. There's no, like, finally I can be free and on my own and experiment. It's just, well, here's this, I guess. Moving on, we have, again, these numbers don't line up because this shocked. No, wait, it does. Sorry, I'm fucking up. We have Fake by Five Finger Death Punch. You're a fake motherfucker, I hate you, motherfucker, I'll break you, motherfucker, you're mine. You're a joke, motherfucker, you blow, but you're a sucker, such a fucking waste of my time. This song, Jordan, I believe that you did a dramatic reading of the lyrics. on another episode when we were talking with Jason Kolke.
Oh, God bless Ivan Moody and the Five Fingers of Death's Punches. They just really have some lyrical gems like Hut Hut and 1-2 Fuck You, and that trend continues with Fake.
Yeah, this fucker has 5.5 million views, and it's not a video. It's just a still of the single cover, so... That's just a lot of people that really wanted to hear this song.
I remember when the cover came out, like, Five Finger Death Punch fans are like, wait a minute, is this anti-Trump? Because it's like, I don't know. It's sort of like reminiscent of old Megadeth albums where you got some character that the band relates to being like naughty and political and pushing buttons to blow things up.
Yeah, but you can easily, because they need to just say like, oh, no, it's a Democratic politician. Like, oh, okay, that's fine.
This is what we think Hillary Clinton looks like.
Yeah.
We really need to do heavy metal parking lot for the modern age at one of their concerts, because there's going to be gems of just insane, stupid things that they're going to say.
Jordan, I've never heard a better idea in my life.
Let's invest in a camera, a good microphone. Let's make this happen.
Oh my God. Like, this could
copyright, trademark. No one take this idea.
This could be the thing that really gets us off the shit heap Patreon thing and gets us the real money.
I know what's going to happen, though, is Metal Sucks is going to do it, and they're going to put their watermark right over the screen viewing.
Yeah. These guys went to see Five Finger Death Punch fans. Won't even give us the proper link back. Anyway.
Link us.
Loudwire present.
Well, hey, I mean, Rolling Stone didn't link to Metal Sucks when they were talking about fucking Threatened this week, so I guess, you know, what goes around comes around.
That's, I mean, you're always going to get fucked by somebody bigger than you.
It is.
If I learned anything from my stay in prison. I like the idea of this song, Fake, because it is, again, a very aggressive, macho-type track. This is one of the few upbeat songs on this entire list, by the way. And it's very aggressive towards the haters, though they are unspecified exactly who the haters are. They are all fake. Yes. And you will fight all of them.
Yeah. Yes, because when you've had enough is enough. It's time to settle this like men and hit each other really hard.
I listen to this and I kind of imagine like a doughy 12-year-old like just chugging a Monster and like flexing in the mirror, stretching so you can get on Xbox Live and call someone a faggot.
I love it.
And you're also going to get an angry 24-year-old who's quitting his job at the Speedway saying this too.
Yeah.
It really works for everybody.
Yeah. Picture, just every decade up from there. Just,
yeah, like some piece of shit cokehead investment banker that's like, that's it, I'm starting my own firm.
Woo!
Five Finger Death Punch Show. Check them out, folks, if you haven't heard of them. We got to Following the Void by Parkway Drive, which we had discussed at the top of this show. 7.3 million views on this completely bland gray hard rock tune.
Who are you people? Like, they're not even on the radio.
There aren't
like
that many Australians.
Oh. I don't think there's 7.3 million Australians.
Yeah, man. It's, I don't know. Maybe they're including like New Zealand and stuff. I don't know.
That wallabies, kangaroos, kiwis. Yes.
That must be it.
Yeah. Following that, we've got Over It by a band that I have not seen mentioned in many years. Bullet for My Valentine.
I couldn't have said it better myself in regards to how I feel about this band. Over It. I don't. Why?
Got him.
What? Why? Like, why? Who gave these people an advance to record more music? I want fucking names, man. I need some stern letters to write.
I kind of appreciated the video for this one a little bit because, you know, while 75% of the video is, you know, them in a darkened warehouse playing guitar, brilliant concept. There are little flashes of like a woman all in black, like peeling her skin off. It's very much in the vein of Under the Skin. That I think that might have been Scarlett Johansson movie. Very strange, artsy horror movie. So that was kind of nice. I don't know. That's all I got to say about that one. Did you ever get into Bullet for My Valentine, Jordan?
Never. I got nothing to say about them. I haven't listened to them. I haven't listened to this song. Let's move on.
Following that, we got another blast from the past, which is the theme of this whole fucking thing. Dirty by a band called Seven Dust. This clocks in at a surprising 3.9 million views. The last time that I Heard or Saw Seven Dust was opening up for Creed in, I believe, 1998. And I was, wow. I didn't even want to go. It was my friend's birthday, okay? He wanted to go. I went with him. Even back then, I was a little asshole. It was like, Creed sucks.
Funny story related to Seven Dust. My local radio station had a giveaway where I don't remember if it was like the certain number caller. I don't know. It must have been a bit more advanced than that because it was a big deal. But they gave you like a Toyota Corolla, Honda Civic, something, some very basic car that had like the Seven Dust logo all over it.
Oh no!
It was like sponsored by Seven Dust and Toyota and whatever. And obviously someone in the neighborhood had to win this car, and it was like a local celebrity. You'd just be driving around and you would just see like the Seven Dust mobile like somewhere in that area. It was hilarious.
I'm just imagining some single mom that's entering this contest like, fuck, I need a car.
I gotta get to work.
Having to drive around like to your multiple jobs with the fucking Seven Dust logo all over it. Oh well.
To the church potluck.
But yeah, I wish I got a picture of it, but this was like, this predates like camera phones, so so it just goes down as a legend, unfortunately.
Speaking of funny cars, and of course I never got a picture of it, but in my area, and I've only seen it twice, it was a pickup truck with anime girl characters all over it.
Wow.
And on the back window, written in, like, you know when kids graduate from high school, they'll write, like, congratulations, Kaylee, or whatever, with marker or pen that washes off. On the back of his truck, it said, just divorced.
That is the most divorced man that's ever lived.
I can't imagine why.
He's finally got the pickup truck he wanted, and he's becoming
free.
The weeb that he always wanted to be, too.
It's free, man.
I don't know what number we're on, but following this is a song called Unstoppable by a band called For the Fallen Dreams. 7.3 million views. It's not metal in the least, but it's an EDM song. Then we have one, Jordan, you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
This track, let's see, it's got 5.5 million views. It's called Distortion. It's by a little band called Baby Metal.
Speaking of like anime girls all over your truck, just a good lead-in.
What do you think on this track?
I mean, I like Baby Metal unironically, and I enjoy it, so good for them.
All right. That's our official take on that one, I guess. I got nothing to add. Following that on number, I have completely lost track. We've got with 6.8 million views, Bring Me the Horizon with the song Wonderful Life featuring Danny Filth.
Pumpkinhead himself.
Yeah.
Now, did he do anything on the actual track or is he just in the video?
Oh, he's in the track.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like his shrieky vocals? Really?
Yeah. Huh. Well, it's not. I don't know if it's shrieky. I think he kind of does like his gurgly bullshit towards the end.
Bring me the horizon.
Fucking hate Danny Filth. Like, if anyone likes Cradle of Filth, please stop.
When I get bummed out, I watch old Cradle of Filth videos.
Nymphetamine. <right? laughs>
Nymphetamine, and I laugh myself to sleep. I feel so much better.
Just tears in your eyes and a smile on your sleeping face.
Everything's not so bad after all.
Don't worry about the world burning. It's, you know, there's still terrible music videos for terrible bands.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this specific track is really bad. I don't know how it's like the most popular one that Bring Me the Horizon has done this year, because it's a very shitty track. You got like Ollie Sykes going into the studio and trying to be like raw and real, and he's like taking his face away from the microphone and mumbling and shuffling and being a fucking idiot. And I don't know, I guess people loved it, so disappointing, man. Me being a huge Bring Me the Horizon fan, I just don't think that this is up to par.
Well, there's like 40 more tracks on here from other bands I've never heard of. I don't think I want to get to them. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we can kind of move on with our life. Is there anything else that really stood out on the list that we want to mention?
Yeah, there's
talk about the actual metal songs on there, because there are like three.
Yeah, we got two Judas Priest tracks.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's is that it?
Well, you got Powerwolf.
Okay.
Also, No Surrender is like my favorite music video ever made because it's like it's like a bunch of geriatrics cosplaying as metal dudes.
That's awesome. I haven't seen that.
Oh yeah. If you just watch it real quick, it's hilarious. They're just like very tenderly kind of shaking around with their pointy instruments and just oh man. But the thing is that their music fucks. Like, it's way cooler than a lot of other stuff that came out this year, and they've been doing this shit for half a century now.
That's true. Yeah. There's also speaking of metal tracks on here, there's a Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie collaboration on Helter Skelter, a cover. Crazy. It's crazy. Great stuff. Yeah.
Powerwolf is on here, and if you want to see a bunch of nuns get naked, then the video's worth it. But besides that, I mean, it's Powerwolf. They're very symphonic power metal, and could be skewed as also very bad because those things are just about intertwined.
There's two Chelsea Grin tracks on here, which I have not listened to, continuing my years-long streak of not listening to Chelsea Grin.
Yeah, they're worse than I remember.
Very bad. Oh, and there's Dimmu Borgir coming up near at the end.
Dumbo Barger.
I did a video breakdown of that particular video. It's incredibly silly and not a good song.
And I completely forgot they put out new music this year. And it reminded me that I don't think their album made it onto anyone's top 10 list.
Nobody's top 10 list. I don't even think Revolver gave them a shout out.
Oh, that's when you get snubbed by Revolver. Wow.
Yeah. They wouldn't even like take the record label money to put them out there. It's that bad.
Brutal. Did anything else on this list pop up to you?
The only thing that I thought was interesting was Alien Weaponry, who are on Napalm Records. And like their whole shtick is like Maori, even though they're three white guys.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
I think that's probably why they're on the list and got so many plays, because it's so different and really hasn't been done before. So good for them? Question mark.
I like the I don't know. That's interesting. That's a whole I guess other conversation about what cultural appropriation really means. But I think it'd be cool if we with our band we started wearing fezes and pretended to be Turks or something.
So I hate to break it to you, but Brent Hines from Mastodon, his previous band Fiend Without a Face, used to all wear fezes and stockings on their faces.
Damn it.
Of all the assholes.
Just want to be some like weird like Shriner asshole like hangs out at the VFW and wears a fez and also plays in a metal band.
And also drives around a go-kart in parades.
By far, that's the best job you can have in the parade, is zooming around on your tiny little go-kart.
Yeah, it's true. It's almost hitting the children.
Some of them have scimitars, too. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's metal.
Yeah. Well, we'll investigate this idea further. I think there's some legs behind it. After we do Heavy Metal Parking Lot Part 2 with Five Finger Death Punch.
It's like the Fall of Western Civilization Part 3.
Yeah. Wait, no, this will be like Part 2 because it'll be better than the first.
Wasn't that called Part 2? And like that was the point?
No, the first one was about punks in the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I didn't know second there was the first one. I just thought it was an artsy name. Like I thought it was like the Fall of Western Civilization Part 2 because they were talking about Rome or some shit.
No, the first one was about like the Circle Jerks and Black Flag and shit. And the second one was all about hair metal. And the third one was all about like desperate gutter punks and crust punk and stuff. And I haven't seen it, but I've heard from other folks it's not really worth your time. I don't know. One day I'll check it out.
Lame. Maybe we can review it on a future show.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Gosh, I thought we would talk about other things in the year, but this was a lot.
Yeah, you know, you win some, you lose some. This was just a bad year.
We just recapped an entire year of bad metal, so I suppose that folks that were looking for additional content. I mean, you just have to listen to the next show.
Well, what are... go ahead, Jordan. I'm sorry.
The next show is the Holiday Gift Exchange Show, and that's the best one of the year.
Yes, yeah. Because we get things.
I get things. For me.
Yes.
I love me. I want me to have things.
I sent you guys stuff like last Friday, I think. Something like that. I don't know. Hopefully it'll get there before we record the show. It should, because I paid out the ass for shipping.
Uh-oh. I find when I pay a lot for like express shipping, it's like most likely not to get there when it's supposed to. And then there's like really no way to get refunded for that.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a dumb move on my part. And like most things were entirely my fault. I probably should have just done it sooner. But hey, what can you do?
It's 'tis the season, you know.
Exactly.
To procrastinate and not realize that it's already the end of the year. Well, I mean, I guess we could close out, which is a quick one about what we really liked as far as music this year, like an album that we thought was the best album.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Do you have something in particular in mind, pal?
Well, I'm assuming that anyone who might be listening probably read our lists, but you know, I strongly rep Harakiri for the Sky was my favorite of the year. Just from like a spin standpoint alone, like I listened to that album like a billion times. I thought it was real fucking cool. They're kind of like they're their own thing, you know. They just take blend. They're like a awesome perfect blend of just like hardcore and black metal and melodic death metal and just like, I don't know, it's like all the shit that I would ever fuck with on a musical standpoint. They just do it all at once all the time. It's great. Just anger and blast beats and sadness, which is my whole life.
I looked at things we shared, things that overlapped between our lists, the three of us. Brenna, with you and me, it was Moyle.
I don't know. Someone email us at toadofhell@gmail.com. Tell us what the O with the strike through is as far as pronunciation.
Mule? Yeah, we'll go with that.
Mule. like a donkey.
Mulva.
And Jordan, you and I...
But before you go on, I actually do like that album too. I just haven't listened to it enough for it to be on my list.
That's fair.
You like it because it's Jord, which is a cool nickname for you.
That's part of it.
Yeah. That's a good one. I think that was way better than Def Heaven's album.
I agree wholeheartedly. There was actual interesting things going on there.
it's like real music.
Jordan, you and I both selected Chemists, who put out a good record. I think that's probably their best of their career, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, really well done album. I think it didn't quite match up, at least in terms of praise, with their previous album, which everyone loved in all sorts of different metal publications. This one, I feel, didn't get quite as much attention. I'm not sure why. Maybe because it was short?
I really liked that album, too. And I remember I was going to, like, I was thinking about one of the songs being, like, one of my favorite songs of the year, but... that I was wrong about what song like came from what album. So I ended up like not featuring it or discussing it, 'cause I hadn't listened to it that much. The whole album, but it's one of those things. It's one of the reasons I really like album of the year season, is that I can, at the beginning of 2019 or next year, you know, you kind of get into the stuff that you missed out on, 'cause there's just so much shit that comes out every year, you know? So that's why I always appreciate it.
Yeah, and it's good, I think, when we feature younger bands on these things, so you can kind of check their progression over time and see how their careers move along.
Definitely.
My favorite record of the year was by Chapel of Disease. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to listen to that one, but it's a kind of interesting record in that it's very long death metal songs, but it works because... the riffs are very much like Lynyrd Skynyrd riffs. they're guys from Germany, but they play southern rock / death metal, and I don't know. It's a really cool thing.
See, that kicks ass, and I totally miss it. I've never even heard of the band until I read your list.
I ignored their last record in 2015. It got mentioned on like one or two lists on the Toil of Hell, but like there's a million fucking records, you know? So
yeah. Yeah, but that's how it is.
I caught this one, and damn, I'm impressed. So I want folks to listen to that, and I'm really, really excited to hear whatever they do next. So maybe one day we can have them on the show too. If they, I don't know if they speak English. They might speak. That's really racist to me. They probably speak English.
Germany, usually everybody speaks English pretty well. You can go into Germany and just be like, yeah, I'm an idiot, I don't know anything. And they go, oh, ha, ha, I understand. Okay, then they tell you where you need to go.
And tell you where to stand in line.
Right, yeah. But yeah, I'll definitely check that out. I was way into the latest Sludge this year. That was a kick-ass album. Funny boys, you know, they got jokes.
They're good boys. I spent more time with that record over the last couple of weeks, simply, you know, going through and editing all the album review list. They got mentioned a lot, and so I spent more time with it. And yeah, it is really, really good stuff, and such like a progression of their earlier work. I know that W first gave them DAP in like 2014 or something. I think we were one of the first sites to really plant our flag all over them. So it's cool to see them kind of blowing up this way for being two weirdos that make death metal about slugs.
I guess that was one of our first guests on Toilet of Hell too.
Yeah,
on
the radio show. Yeah, they poor Matt, poor bastard, made me listen to. I made him listen to my terrible English accent.
Oh no. Oh dear. Yeah, and it's really funny because they kind of have this sort of shoestring production about them. Like, they're recording everything inside, and it's just, you know, laptops. And they had like the Black Dahlia Murder drummer I think like send them stems from like playing on an electronic kit inside or something. You know, they just strung together this amazing sounding record with like minimal effort, not effort of course, but like production, I guess I should say. So it just goes to show, you don't need like a ton of money or resources to make one of the best albums of the year.
Yeah. So all the bands out there that are whining that they, you know, blew $100,000 going to some palatial estate to record a record on a state-of-the-art console, you don't need that shit, bro.
Yeah. No, definitely not. Just a little bit of talent, a little bit of time, and you know, you can make a banger. What else, Jordan? What else came out you thought was good?
My number one was a Canadian band, Unrequited, and of course, me being me, I have to pick something different from everyone else, and that's not a pat on my back, that's just me acknowledging that I am very much not in tune with what people like. But they self-released an album called Stars Wet to the Sea, and it's, I guess, post-metal, post-black metal, little depressive, suicidal stuff going on, and it's like pretty music combined with like harsh, agonizing vocals, and it's good bummer music, and that's pretty much what I'm all about these days, is just feeling bad and staying feeling bad.
I really, really fuck with that shit. I will give that a listen.
They also released like another EP in like November. The only reason that's not on my list also is just because it came out so late that I didn't have time to really digest it, but definitely if you like pretty stuff and feeling bad, it's a good album.
There you go, folks. They bill themselves as depressing and uplifting. So get a little bit of downer with your upper. Anything you guys want to talk about, or can I go ahead and get my chow on?
I think we're going to let you and your good boys get your food for the night. I think that we fed our listeners a heaping helping of quality podcasting, and I think we all need to just log off and eat some grub.
Yeah, chew on that,
motherfucker.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Oh, subscribe to the Patreon or whatever. All right.
Bye, bros. Keep it metal.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.